the Sports Grid Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic, but actually on Fridays, it's not the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is going to be the Sports Grid Gambling Podcast. Every week, I will likely be having a guest on to run through some of our favorite NFL betting lines on Sundays and some player props as well. The first guest for this show, Jim, you were the first guy that I thought of because we actually follow each other up on the FanDuel Hurry Up all year, so I knew that you would be game for this. So everyone, Jim Sonnes from Number Fire is our first guest for the show. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Davis. And yeah, I always I record with Greg right before you, and he will like allude to the fact like, oh, we're talking about Patrick Cantlay later too, and I'm like, heck yeah, man, like, let's go. If Davis is on Patrick Cantlay as well, I'm feeling pretty good, so this is exciting. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Football season, you know, draft season has been very kind to me. Just finished up my second to last draft. I have one more Friday night, 8 p.m. And then for me, that's it. It is time to start going firmly into week one mode. Did you bet on the Green Bay, Chicago game?
I did not because I saw it as being like a 2.5 point spread and it was at 3. So I didn't really feel the need to. I like the Packers this year overall, so I thought that seeing their defense and the guys they added this year play as well as they did was encouraging. And a lot of that was influenced by Mitchell Trubisky not, you know, playing his best. But I did think that Green Bay forced him into some of those mistakes, so that made me feel pretty good about that overall. Because I do have some Green Bay futures that I was a little bit nervous about, just given like the uncertainty around Matt LaFleur. But seeing what the defense did last night made me feel a lot better.
So I, you know, I can't promise to always be this sharp, but I had Green Bay in the points, and I basically thought it was going to be kind of an easy win for Green Bay, and I said that in our Daily Roto Slack channel, and Colin Drew was like, okay, well, if you think that, you should bet the money line too. So I re-upped and bet the money line as well, and you know, I wouldn't actually say I'm not actually pro Packers as much as I am anti Bears. I think Mitch Trubisky is really bad, basically. Yeah. So I have the under on the Bears. Their win total, Jim, was 10. That feels crazy, right?
It was crazy. I think it got bet down to like 8.5 or so at a certain point, and the juice was getting pretty interesting, which was weird because that was happening at the same time that all these Super Bowl bets are coming in on the Bears and the Trubisky MVP bets. And like, I get the process behind those because like the defense is super good and Trubisky is the quarterback of a team that could hypothetically be good. So I understand why people were betting Trubisky given his odds, but it was weird to see this total, their win total moving at the same time that all these other bets are coming in. And like, there's just so many parallels to the Jaguars of last year where it's like historically great, outlierishly good defense heading into the next year. And defense is not as sticky year over year as offense is. And Trubisky, obviously, you look at the Pro Football Focus grades, which I do put stock in, and they were not into Trubisky. And, like, so many of the deep balls that he threw last year, like against the Bucs game specifically, where there was just no one in sight. It was very clearly blown coverages, so you can't even look at his stats from last year and say, oh, those are legitimate. So I was down on Trubisky coming out of the draft, and so it pained me every time he blew up last year. So I am okay with negative Trubisky hype heading into 2019. I will soak that in for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, so the format for this podcast, and again, I'm not going to promise everyone listening to this that it's going to stay the same every week, but Jim and I are going to run through our Super Contest picks. So if you've never played the Super Contest, don't know what it is, basically it's exactly what it sounds like. A bunch of gambling degenerates participate in a contest picking at least, or actually in this version of the contest, you pick 5 lines against the spread every week for 16 or 17 weeks, and your cumulative record adds up. Winner at the end of the year wins a prize. Of course, it's a big contest in Las Vegas, but a lot of contests are ran in online pools that are very similar using the lines from the Westgate Sportsbook. Jim has the Westgate lines pulled up. I have the lines pulled up from the biggest bookmaker on earth online, and I'm not going to give them any free pub here, but most of you guys listening to this know who I'm talking about. And so if there's a discrepancy between these lines, that would not only inform who you should pick in the Super Contest, but who you should be betting on Sunday. Actually, One thing I did last year, Jim, was like I actually tracked the differences, because in most super contests, the real one and in the facsimile ones, you have to turn your picks in on Wednesday.
Right. And those lines are locked at that point.
Right. Yeah. So the example I remember from last year was the Vikings-Packers game where Rodgers was questionable. And that was one where the Westgate line on Wednesday was way different than the line that was pushed out on Sunday morning, because Rodgers did end up playing.
Right. And that's like a big thing too, is like kind of if you're playing in like the fake ones and the lines are set Wednesday, but for your contest, you don't submit picks until, you know, Thursday. That can provide a pretty big edge, because seeing that movement is significant. So I think just being aware of how things are moving and how things could move before you get to Sunday, like you can predict line movement a lot of the times. If you can predict which way things will go, that can give you a pretty big edge. So trying to dig in and figure out which way things may shift as the week goes along, I think is a pretty big key just in general with betting, but also for contests like this.
Yeah, definitely. So our idea was we were going to start out with some of the picks that we were least confident in, moving up into our most confident ones. And so my one, basically number five of the list, is the Carolina Panthers +2 at home to the Los Angeles Rams. I think it's pretty likely that the Rams are a better team, but considering this game is in Carolina, I think probably they're not 5 points better than the Panthers.
And it's also a 1 o'clock game for a West Coast team, which is something that we always talk about. Like, it's an anecdote, but that's certainly there. And we've talked a lot about Jared Goff under pressure, and I'm a big Goff believer, but he obviously is not going to perform as well under pressure. And now you change out their left guard and their center from last year, put in two guys who were third and fourth round picks in 2018. And it provides a lot of uncertainty there for Goff. And this Panthers pass rush, you know, Bruce Irvin's not playing on Sunday, but they've added dudes with Brian Burns, and I think that they could be pretty ferocious. I think I like this game a lot from a DFS perspective, because I think it could
definitely
be pretty nice back and forth affair. I didn't put this one on my list. I did consider the Panthers +2 because there's actually been some movement where I think it was three. Let me look at the super contest lines here. I believe it has moved since these were set. The Rams were -2.5 there. So things have been moving towards Carolina. I think if I were to bet it, I would go with Carolina, but I think this game is just super close. And personally, I'm probably staying away from it, but if I had to go, I would go with Carolina too.
Yeah, I just in general, we just don't know a lot about these teams. And so like one of the a tried and truism about betting on the NFL is that like if you have any doubts, just bet on home underdogs, because like historically home underdogs are just very good at covering the spread, even though obviously it's not like Las Vegas casinos don't know that when they're making the lines. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So what was your number five game?
I went through a bunch at number five and like rotated through a ton. I wound up on the Jets -3 over the Bills. And this one is, my level of certainty in it is not super high, because the Jets defense is probably going to be pretty bad this year given their cornerback situation. And the Bills defense is very good. So defensively, this is a matchup that very much favors the Bills side, but I think the quarterback discrepancy here is significant in favor of the Jets. Sam Darnold played really well down the stretch last year, and now we can trash the Jets, you know, their free agent moves, but they brought in Kelechi Osemele. That's a big pickup. Ryan Khalil should give them continuity at center, even if he's not what he used to be. Le'Veon Bell can help the passing game. Jamison Crowder can help the passing game as well. And the Bills made moves in the offseason. They did get John Brown, but the linemen they brought in were a bunch of mid-level, like, fringe starters. Like, I like Ty Nesecki as, like, a swing tackle. I think he was awesome with Washington in that role, but is he a difference maker on the offensive line? Mitch Morse, I think, is a difference maker at center, but, like, overall, I don't think the moves, like, they were smart from a team-building perspective, because you don't want to splurge in free agency, like the Jets did. But I think from a 2019 perspective, I don't see them being a whole lot better this year on the offensive side. I just think the Jets are the better team here. So the Jets -3 over the Bills. They're fifth in my confidence ranking, but I think that that's a good one. I think this game's going to be higher scoring than perception too. I don't know if this is like tinfoil hat thinking, like with me being into Adam Gase not being a sloth offensively, But I do think the Jets will be faster than perception this year, which is also part of the sinking here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really hate that one. That one was not one that made my list, mostly because I just don't have a great feel. However, yeah. I guess if I was, you know, sort of loosely trying to figure things out, I definitely would err on the side of betting against like a super high variance quarterback like Josh Allen. And I love the Jets defense from a streaming perspective, both in DFS and in seasonal.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you don't need talent to score well in DFS, you know, from a defensive perspective. And Josh Allen, like, he's super fun to watch. Like, I live near Buffalo, so, like, I get to watch every Buffalo game. And it's a thrill for me as, like, an NFL fan to watch this dude do whatever it is that he does. But, like, I don't know if I'd want that as my quarterback at all times. So I think betting against erraticism is something that I'm very okay with.
Yeah. Okay, so number four for me is a road favorite, the Kansas City Chiefs -3.5 at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Basically, this just fits in with a core belief of mine, which is that, you know, more powerful offenses are going to be better than powerful defenses. Jacksonville does not have a good offense. They might have a league average offense, but the Kansas City Chiefs have, you know, one of the three best offenses in the NFL, and so -3.5 here, even on the road, felt pretty simple to me.
Yeah, and I was leaning towards the Jacksonville side of this, but then today their left tackle Cam Robinson apparently hurt his knee. Like, he tore his ACL last year, but his other knee got hurt in practice, and they're going to start a fourth round rookie at left tackle now. And like, I've been into the Jaguars this whole week. Like, I thought it'd be this shootout. I thought it'd be this really fun game. And then part of that thinking, though, was because the Jaguars' offensive line was fully healthy finally. Because, like, by week eight last year, all their starters, except for their right tackle who got cut after the year, were gone. So I was like, oh, cool. The Jags added John DeFilippo, who will actually, like, throw the football. They added Nick Foles. Like, they've got Dede Westbrook in there again. Like, I was excited. And then Cam Robinson gets hurt. So if I were betting this one, I would go Chiefs as well. And I think that with the Cam Robinson injury, I actually feel pretty okay with it. It didn't make my top five, but I think that that's a pretty solid way to go. And that's the way I would go on that one too.
All right. Well, there we go. Another one where we are in accordance. What is your next game?
Yeah, this one. So I feel weird betting on a team going into the Superdome to cover.
And I like the same one though.
Okay, cool. So I've got the Texans +7. I think it's actually +6.5 a lot of places, but the Super Contest one was +7. And I think that a lot of reason people are down on the Texans is because of the trades that they made. And the trades that they made are bad for 2020. They're bad for long-term team building. But when you add Laremy Tunsil to that offensive line, the short-term gains there are pretty significant. Also, let us not overlook the Kenny Stills revenge game here against the Saints as well. And the Saints seem insistent on running the football. And what that does is it makes it a lot harder to cover a larger spread. And you know, 7 points is pretty significant for this week one slate. So I think that we're seeing a lot of pessimism around the Texans, but that pessimism should not relate to 2019. We should be excited about this team for 2019 because Laremy Tunsil makes them a better team. So I think the Texans go in there and I don't know if they win outright, but I think that they keep this game pretty close and can cover a touchdown there.
Yeah, I think there are reasons even further than what you mentioned is I think there are reasons to be pessimistic about the Saints, right?
Right.
You know, Drew Brees is now like Drew Brees is people don't talk about this, but he's also entering in to that same range of age as you know, as Tom Brady, as Peyton Manning, when these guys started to have right. You know, just when their efficiency got worse. And the Saints offense, yeah, they ran a lot more last year, and they have, you know, good running backs, good offensive line, and a good play caller to make sure that their rushes are at least relatively effective. But that offense, especially at home, is really built on efficiency, and if they were to see a marked decrease in performance from Drew Brees, like being a 7-point favorite against, you know, a Super Bowl contending team would be too much.
And it's also their first game with a new center because Max Unger retired, and they're facing a good defensive front with the Texans. And I think that the Saints did a lot to address the center position in the offseason, both via the draft and free agency. So I don't think they'll be bad there long term. But, you know, asking someone to go in there in week one and fill in, I think, is a pretty tall ask. So I do like the Texans quite a bit there.
Yeah. All right. My next one, we're getting into gross range here, but this one actually felt, I thought the line was sort of confusing. Oakland is a 1-point dog at home to the Denver Broncos. These teams are very similar to each other in overall talent. They're very similar to each other in win totals. I believe that Denver's win total was only a game and a half higher than Oakland's. So I don't think it seems as if the markets, outside of this single game market, thought that Denver was like a playoff contender or anything like that. So I just thought that this was a bizarre line.
And that's one way to look at, week one spreads. I was talking about this. I have a podcast with Ed Fang of the Power Rank, who's this crazy smart guy. And he was talking about taking win totals and backing out expected spreads based on those. And that's kind of exactly what you just said, where the overall season-long expectation for the two teams is not super different. So you have Denver going on the road. Why would they be favored in the situation? I think that overall thought process is super valid. I have no idea what to think of the Raiders. I know that Antonio Brown's apparently going to play now, which is a good thing for them because offensive efficiency is going to go up when he is on the field for you. But I have no read on their team overall. So I think not just this game, but I think for the first couple of weeks, I am going to stay as far away from the Raiders from a betting perspective as I possibly can until we can get a read on what they look like this year.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think actually you make a good point. I think that a lot of people in the market are taking that attitude, and right. The Raiders are not really a public team anymore anyways. Right. Maybe 10 years ago they would have been a public team, but who wants to be the person betting on Oakland right now with, Derek Carr sucks and Gruden's an idiot and Antonio Brown, I think that, like, just in general, that's a great time to place wagers when a line might not be based on math, but might be based on a sentiment. And I totally get the sentiment.
Right.
But at a certain point, I just don't think Denver is any good at all, basically.
Right. Right. And I think that's probably a fairly decent assumption at this point too.
Yeah. All right. What is your number three game?
So you were talking about the Raiders not being a public team, and I usually try to avoid public teams whenever I can, but I like the Cowboys -7 over the Giants here, and I think there are a couple of reasons why I'm drawn towards that. First of all, I'm excited to see what Kellen Moore does as the offensive coordinator for Dallas. We've seen this offense be good in the past, but that was under this, like, archaic system, and Kellen Moore came from, like, this good system in college. I feel optimistic about him overall as a coordinator. I think that makes me like Dallas in general. And Dallas gets Travis Frederick back now. Seeing him play and be healthy for the start of training camp, I thought was the most encouraging thing we could have had for this offense. So getting Travis Frederick back is huge. The Giants lost Olivier Vernon and Landon Collins. That should allow the Cowboys to move the ball with relative ease here. And if you look at Dak Prescott last year after the Amari Cooper trade, he lit it up at home. And I don't like drawing into home road splits because all you're doing is limiting your sample, but it does matter at least a little bit. You're looking at this Giants team, Golden Tate suspended. The depth at receiver for the Giants is essentially non-existent. So I like the Cowboys to cover here -7. I think, it's a big spread for sure, but I also just am I have far more faith in this Cowboys offense than I do in the Giants. Cowboys defense also has a lot of good pieces. So I think that they do cover here.
Yeah, no, I'm all in. I'm all in on trying to get in early on some of the teams that I think are going to be much better on offense than they were in 2018. And I think Dallas is a contender to maybe be, the 2017 Rams, the 2018 Bears, where they went from being, just this complete non-entity, just totally bad or mediocre to being, one of the five best offenses in football, because Dallas has all the pieces, right? They have right. The elite wide receiver one, they have the mobile quarterback, they have a good complementary wide receiver and Michael Gallup, they have the offensive weapon type players that, all these offenses seem to have in Tavon Austin and Randall Cobb. I think Dallas is a team that might be getting two fewer points in like the first 3 weeks of the season than they should.
Right, exactly. And that's where I'm at too. You want to predict change. Like, you want to predict where teams will be different than they were last year. That was part of the thinking with the Jets, talking about how their pace may be better than it was and better than perception. Buy into changes, and I think the Cowboys are one of the bigger teams, to me at least, that stands out in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so my number two game. Okay, my number two game was San Francisco, Tampa Bay. Before I even say the line, what side do you think I prefer?
So I have this game on my list too. I have the Bucks.
Yeah, I have the Bucks too.
Okay, cool. Let me hear your reason, and then I'll give mine. This is actually my number one.
This is your number one. Yeah, so essentially, I would say this game looks like a team that's going to be won by who has the better offense. San Francisco has a couple good defensive players, but certainly I would not call them a defensively stout team. And Tampa Bay's defense is not very good at all. And this Tampa Bay offense is – they're another contender, much like Dallas, to just score more points and gain more yards than a lot of other teams in the league. So Jameis does have a definite problem with turnovers, but he also is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL at just getting positive plays to happen in the first place. Like, he's just very good at throwing the ball down the field. He's very good at creating touchdowns. And, you know, he's playing with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and O.J. Howard. And this is even another byproduct of the fact that Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber are so bad. I think that they're just not going to bother running. I think they're going to be one of the pass heaviest teams in the NFL. And, you know, that can take other teams, you know, just by surprise, just by having to consistently defend the pass. So I think Tampa Bay is a very good bet here.
Yeah, I completely agree, because you look at this, game, and it's not just what you mentioned, because I think the Buccaneers' offense could be fairly static from year to year, because I have a lot of respect for Todd Monken, and I thought that he ran a good system last year. But I think the defense here is interesting. I don't think they'll be good, but the Buccaneers' defense last year was the most injured defense in all of football, according to Football Outsiders, adjusted games lost. And the 49ers were 29. So I'm not saying that they were not hurt, but seeing this Bucs team get healthier, they made some additions via the draft, and it's also a situation that is better for a team like Tampa Bay, because this game is in Tampa Bay. The temperature is going to be 90, or in the low 90s, and it'll feel like it's 97 according to Dark Sky Weather. And the 49ers train in Santa Clara, and the temperature did get into the 90s a couple of days there, but it was usually the low 80s and upper 70s, and now they're going to this hot and humid place to play at 4:25 on a Sunday, flying all the way across the country, and I think that that does not bode very well for them. You add in, you know, the injury regression that we should see with this Bucs defense here, and I think that that makes me like Tampa Bay quite a bit. It has nothing to do with Jimmy Garoppolo struggling in the preseason. I don't care about that. I think that this offense will be good this year. It's mostly to do with the fact that the Bucs are in better conditioning to play in this type of game. And I think that being at home, it's a pick 'em in the Super Contest. I think that it really does make a lot of sense to be in the Bucs. They were my number one here.
Yeah, I really like them as well. So who was your number two then?
My number two was the Browns against the Titans. The Browns are -5, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, where I want to buy into the teams that I'm high on for the full season when it comes to week one lines. And a lot of it relates to the Titans' offensive line, because Taylor Lewan, their left tackle, is suspended for this game. He is a very good player, and their backup is Dennis Kelly, and he might be the best backup left tackle in all of football. But you don't want even the best backup left tackle in all of football facing Myles Garrett, Sheldon Richardson, and Olivier Vernon. You do not want that. Now, their right guard is also apparently injured, according to Friday practice reports. So I think that the Browns, that defensive line is going to have a pretty big coming out party on Sunday. So I am very into them. And it's not even talk about OBJ in his first game with the Browns. I respect the Titans' defense, and I think they will be good this year, but I think the Browns are going to cover -5 at home against Titans. And I'm a Marcus Mariota truther, and, like, it pains me a lot to be so down this Titans' offense in week one, but, like, I just don't see any scenario in which they have a good game here.
Yeah, I mean, so the Browns are definitely a public sentiment team. You can definitely say that. So I think in a kind of a more normal week, this line would be closer to 3.5 or 4. I had this one as a no bet. Yeah. Not because I don't think the Browns aren't gonna, like, to have a crazy game. I just I'm not crazy about the number, and I think the Titans just have such an ability to ugly up games.
Yeah,
like they are just so, and it doesn't matter who's coaching. Doesn't matter if it's Mike Mularkey. Doesn't matter if it's Matt LaFleur. Doesn't matter if it's Mike Vrabel. Literally, doesn't matter. They just ugly up games, and that was my only hesitation. But I think if I was forced to choose a side, I would take the Cleveland side pretty clearly.
Yeah. What was your other one? I think you saw your number. Was it your number one?
Yeah, I have my number one. I'm very surprised that you are not in on this one. I bet that you can guess it. It is a West Coast team, and there's a very wide range of outcomes for this game.
A wide range. Oh, is it the Chargers Colts?
No, we have Arizona as home dogs to the Detroit Lions. I don't care. I don't care that. I mean, even last year's Cardinals, last year's Steve Wilkes, Mike McCoy Cardinals, I might bet them as home dogs against the Matt Patricia, Daryl Bevel Cardinals. But then you add that, you know, Kyler Murray's their quarterback, Cliff Kingsbury's their offensive coordinator. I think the most likely scenario for this game is that the Lions are forced to play. The Lions are forced to play catch up. I think Arizona kind of jumps on them. Right. I think that they are able to come out and, you know, get up 10-0, 14-0. And, you know, Matt Stafford, who is, is the stat still true? I guess it's not now that they beat the Patriots, but that he was like sub 10% against winning teams in his career or something crazy like that.
I would not be surprised for a single second.
Yeah, I'm not trying to hate on Matt Stafford. It's more about not believing. I don't believe in their coaching staff, and I don't believe in the organizational way that that Detroit is structured. And I do believe that about Arizona. And I think, you know, we've talked about this throughout the whole podcast, but just getting out ahead and having stances on teams before something happens can often be quite profitable. The earlier you are, the more profitable your decision will be. The sooner you are reacting to information with the public, the less your edge is going to be, even if you are right.
Right. And that, we talk about that on our DFS podcast a lot, making assumptions and building lineups based on the assumption that, you know, when Jimmy Garoppolo became the starter for the 49ers, if you assume that he's good, it would have meant you'd use Marquise Goodwin every week. Like, you make assumptions and you can fill out really good tournament lineups by doing exactly that. The reason that I was not into this one personally is because of the Cardinals defense.
Oh, it's so bad. Yeah, it's real bad.
And like, I think the issue that I had was that even I agree with you off, like, from a philosophy perspective about what the Lions have done this offseason. I think they're total dolts, like, as a front office, and Patricia specifically, like, you know, what he's been doing. But I think that their philosophy can work against this defense, and that is what led me here. There's no Patrick Peterson. There's no Robert Alford. Hassan Reddick's not fully healthy. So, like, there were a lot of factors working against them. And I think this could be a situation where the Lions' backward, archaic offense can actually work. So I want to bet against the Lions overall this year, but I think against this specific defense, I was a bit hesitant to do so just because I think they're going to be really, really bad this year. I love the Cardinals offense. I think that Kyler's going to be awesome. I love the mindset of Cliff Kingsbury. I just think that defense is going to be truly wretched.
Yeah, I have no disagreements about that, right? It's just I think that the way that Matt Patricia and Daryl Bevel would choose to attack a defense is by just, like, you know, keeping running. Like, I think that they would be down by 10 and still be running, like, CJ Anderson runs.
Right. So if there's ever a situation where the Lions wind up being favored by 5 or more points, you need to hammer the other team. I think preemptively, like, let's say they waste the Cardinals here and they at some point wind up being favored by anything, like anything more than 3 points, you need to hammer the other team, because I think I agree. You do need to bet against this team. I'm so wary of this Cardinals defense and having any faith in them that it really did push me away.
I probably, like, I think I would even bet the Bears over them. Like, if they were 3-point favorites over the Bears, I think I'd bet the Bears.
Right. Exactly. I would be 100% in agreement there. Like, the Lions are just, they're a confounding organization. Cause, like, they have talent. Like, they've got, you know, they've got good players on their offensive line. They've got good receivers, 2 really good ones. They've got Kerryon Johnson. Matthew Stafford, for you know, the as much as he was overrated earlier in his career, I think that if he were in a non-archaic system, he could be a good quarterback still. So, like, they have talent. It's just frustrating that they don't want to use that talent.
Right. So that is that was our five, you know, primary picks for the Super Contest and for picks this weekend. You have a couple situations. Player props are not out yet. We are yeah. sitting here on Friday afternoon. Player props are not out yet. But I have a couple situations that I'm going to be looking for when they come out. Do you have any in mind?
Yeah, I want to look at the Jets. I was talking before about just being into that offense in general. And I think that because the Bills' defense is good, and I agree that they're good, I would bet that things in the Jets are going to be relatively low. So I want to check out Le'Veon Bell. I think people will be wary of him given the long layoff he has had. But I expect this Jets team to run not necessarily like an up-tempo offense, but be faster than perception, which is why the total in that game has gone up. It was 38.5 when I was initially looking at it, and it is now 40.5. So I think that the player props on the Jets specifically are probably going to wind up being lower than they should. So I'd like to get in there. I also think that I'm not super – I think that I would be looking at some unders on Philadelphia because the game environment there is going to be
atrocious. Yeah, it could just be crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're going to wipe Washington, but that's not a good thing for player props always. So I think I would be inclined to look at some unders on Eagles players just because I don't think Washington can keep pace. And that's going to harm a lot of the Eagles players. And that's why I'm probably not going to be as into them as others for DFS as well.
Yeah. That's funny you mentioned that game. The three things that I have written down here are that I wanted to look at Darius Geis unders because I think it's that the market is starting to get irrationally into him. I wanted to look at the Kyler Murray overs because I think that they're probably likely to be, you know, they might still be a little bit public influence from the Kyler love, but I think I probably love him even more than that. And also wanted to look at the Damian Williams lines because if the Damian Williams lines come out like he is in a straight up timeshare with LeSean McCoy and Darwin Thompson, I probably would like those overs as well. Cause I think at least for this first week, he's likely to be 60-ish% of the backfield work.
We're sitting here on Friday and I think people are writing off the chance that LeSean McCoy isn't active on Sunday. And I don't think that's outside the range of outcomes.
Still have Darrell Williams. So it wouldn't even be crazy for them to make him inactive.
Right. And like they've said, like, Andy Reid has flat out said he doesn't know. Like, I know you can kind of pick your narrative based on what he said, because he said everything essentially about LeSean McCoy. But I think that there is a situation in which LeSean McCoy is inactive. And if that were to happen, you would want every Damian Williams over you could get. So I would agree grabbing those would be advantageous because they're going to account for LeSean McCoy. And there's a possibility he's not out there on Sunday.
Definitely. All right, Jim, thank you so much for doing the show. This is perfect, in and out, concise, gave the people some actionable info to enjoy their Sunday. Tell people about the Number Fire Podcast Network and your work over there.
Yeah, thanks, Davis. We have our DFS podcast goes up every Monday and Thursday. We do a recap podcast on Monday and a preview podcast on Thursday. You can find that by searching for the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed. And then I have a betting podcast with Ed Fang of thepowerrank.com. It's called Covering the Spread. You can search for Covering the Spread. Same areas where you find the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed. So that one is on Wednesdays and Fridays. College football Wednesday and then NFL on Fridays. So A lot of podcasting, as I know that you can relate to for sure, especially this time of year. It's a busy time. I want to thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and hopefully things go well for you in week one.
Yep. Big grind, Jim. Thank you for sharing some time with us in the middle of your busy schedule. Everyone, please make sure to check his work out over on Number Fire and on the Number Fire Podcast Network. Subscribe to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast and check out more of our betting coverage on rotoexperts.com, and we will see you next week.